Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 106. Hey, everybody. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the really grumpy John Poundstone.
Oh, come on.
You're not cranky. You are grumpy polar bear. There's no denying it.
My man, period.
Clearly. And as your loving wife, I have put up with it excellently, I believe.
Yes, you have. I'm okay. Proud of you.
But we're going to do a show now, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got to like pretend you're not grumpy for just a little while.
Grouse, 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 grouse.
We will grouse in the bonus section. Now we're doing a thing. Let's do
our thing. Okay, let's do our thing.
This week, we're talking about a specific instance of the word no, when a dominant denies their submissive. It's not always in a kinky fun way either. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM or on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC or on Instagram at LovingDS1. That's the number one. I hate that fucking handle, but we are on Instagram and we are sort of kind of trying to use it. And all links are in the show notes.
Who's grumpy now?
I hate that handle. It makes me so mad. Especially since I already didn't like the first handle and that Instagram got shut down and I had to go for a second one and I had to pretend we're not about BDSM. It is stupid. Damn Instagram. Okay. I do have two quick announcements. See, your grumpiness is contagious.
I think not.
Hey, our grumpiness is very righteous. We're both like right about why we're grumpy.
Yeah.
But we're still grumpy.
True.
So I'm going to do these announcements real quick.
Okay.
Okay, so just a reminder for any of our kinky fuckery members who like to listen to the show on Friday when it drops. The November 2017 Munch is Saturday, November 4th at 2 p.m. Eastern. The link to access it is in the Munches and Meetings forum. And if you are a Kinky Fuckery member, hopefully you know where that is. And if not, you know how to email me and say, hey, y'all, what? So that's that one. And then the other one is we are officially in November. And so we have officially moved over to a new book for the book club. The book runs for both November and December because of the holidays. And this is kind of a wild time of year for most people. And the book is Horatio Slice by Oleander Plume. And I will go ahead and admit, as we were recording on Thursday night before this episode comes out, I have not finished reading the book yet.
I haven't started. Yeah. I want to read this book.
I know. I do, too. I love Horatio Slice, and I adore Oleander Plume. So those are the announcements.
Okay.
And there will be postcard section in the bonus section,
yeah.
And there will be bitching and moaning as well.
And gnashing of teeth.
Gnashing of teeth and grousing. So much grousing. But before we get there, let's actually do a show for the people who came here for the information.
Okay.
I think there are some people who come because we're silly and they think that's fun. There are things I could say about them, but I love them, so it's okay. And then there are people who actually come for the information, and we should probably provide the information.
Probably.
Right. So this episode, I will freely admit, has not been on our list, and it kind of came to me while I was in the shower washing my hair.
A lot of things come to you in the shower.
You know, it's where I do my best thinking, quite frankly. And some people will get...
Is that the think tank?
It is the think tank. It is my think tank. And some people are going to go, oh, what did John Brownstone say no to you about? Y'all, he says no to me all the time. Like, I barely even blink anymore. But it did. It just sort of hit me that it's kind of a thing. And for the unprepared submissive, it can be a dramatic thing. Quite frankly, what both with you and my previous DS relationship, the biggest moment of where I had to kind of go inside myself and say, okay, self, are you really submissive? was the first time I was told no for something I actually really wanted. Because it is that moment where you are confronted with the, oh, that's right, I gave this other person the control.
It's a moment of revelation, isn't it?
Yes, because, you know, there are two types of no's in BDSM. There's the kinky no of, no, you can't come until I say you can, or no, I'm not going to do that kinky thing you really want me to do. Or, as I have found, the more I beg for something, the longer you make me wait. So there's that denial. And for the DS people who enjoy that, it is, even when it's a little painful, says the submissive, it's still enjoyable because it's a part of my kink and it's a thing I enjoy and it's part of the power exchange. But then there's the other no that maybe I'm just not paying attention, but a lot of people don't seem to talk about it. I guess it's because most people do focus on the kinky fuckery and the fun. But it's the no when you, as a submissive, know you are a grown-ass adult and you could do what you wanted to do, but you're choosing not to do what you want to do. You're choosing to do what your dominant wants you to do, and they're telling you no to something you really want to do. And in any other life, you would just go the fuck ahead and do it. And you're faced with the choice of... Do I listen? And I've been told no, and I honor that?
I wish you could see her face right now as she's saying all this.
I'm getting myself a little worked up and grousy over it because I really don't like those no's. Except that over time, I have learned that you really only say no to me when you feel like it's in my best interest. And if I can give you a compelling reason why the answer should not be no, you are willing to hear me out and take that into consideration. And sometimes you've changed your mind.
On occasion.
Which I will admit, as your submissive baby girl who loves you so much and your
oh boy.
Wife, sometimes it feels like cheating. Because I'm like, am I really that good of an arguer? Did I manipulate that situation? Am I just such a brilliant person that I made him see the light? Oh my gosh, what did I get away with?
You should have been a lawyer or a politician.
That's what people tell me, but I don't want to do either of those things. I'd just rather talk about kink all day. Thank you very much. So... It's kind of a double-edged sword to have that ability to tell you what I think and to say, hey, daddy, here's some more information you need to make a different decision. Please make a different decision. And when you do, sometimes I worry that somehow I controlled that situation. But that, thankfully, is sort of few and far between for us.
Yes, that's true.
But the important... part of the whole concept of a dominant telling their submissive no, and then the submissive abiding by that and saying, okay, I accept, this is part of our power exchange, I will not do the thing that I would like to do, comes down to trust and communication and honesty and the fact that that submissive has to know somewhere deep inside of them that their dominant has their best interest at heart.
Absolutely. I think in our entire relationship, the month before the wedding, I said no to you more times.
I had gotten into some really bad habits. You kind of had to say no. You smacked that food out of my hands.
Exactly. You know, you were working really hard to make sure not that your dress didn't fit, but you wanted it to fit better.
He's all McClinton choked up thinking of me and my wedding dress.
That's
y'all. Right.
I am. And, you know, we have identified...
Do you just want to cough or take a sip? We don't edit these things out, so everybody gets all the glory of the frog in your throat and slurps of coffee. And that horrible squeaking sound is his chair, y'all.
Yeah, I still haven't oiled it
or done anything with it or replaced it in 20 years. Whatever.
It's comfortable. Anyway, you know, we have identified certain foods at this point that affect you in diverse ways.
Very badly.
And unfortunately, they're foods that you like.
They're my comfort foods.
Exactly.
My comfort foods are killing me.
So, you know, our agreement was that in order for her to have a piece of wedding cake...
I had to forego all the good stuff.
She had to forego all the good stuff.
And I did it.
And you did.
I lost a ton of weight,
too. You lost weight.
My dress wasn't big on me, but it was way looser than it had been.
But you had room to spare. And... in the time that you avoided those foods, you were a healthy, happier you.
I was. I should probably get back to that, huh?
Yeah,
you
now
should probably
it's time.
Tell me no more often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're now that we're slowly getting back to normal.
But see, that comes to another point, though, about the use of the word no. It's a trust thing. It's a communication thing. It's also a level of responsibility on both sides of the slash. Yeah. So the submissive has several responsibilities here. One, you have the responsibility to communicate if that being told no, you feel is somehow detrimental. There's maybe information your partner doesn't have, or something that if they understood, maybe they'd have a different answer or a different solution. Because sometimes it's not that the answer doesn't change from no to yes. Sometimes it changes from no, not this, to instead that. Right? Like, I give you more information.
A possible maybe.
There's that too. But sometimes it's not a blanket no. It's a no, baby girl, you cannot go play in traffic. But what you can do instead is go do this thing, right? So by as a submissive, by being willing to communicate when the answer you're being given is really not necessarily a good one, by giving your dominant more information to make a better decision, that is a responsibility.
Yeah.
Then there is the responsibility that depending on your reaction to the no, depending on what the thing you're being told to do or not to do, and how you feel about it and where that hits your limits and whether you feel like that is truly physically, mentally, emotionally, financially detrimental to you. As long as everything is good and it's just a matter of a moment of, I don't want to do it, you then have the responsibility to keep your end of the agreement.
Correct.
We'll talk about those times when you can't, and we'll get there. But for the most part, assuming everything else is good, to not do what you're told as part of the relationship you've negotiated and consented to, that's a problem. So, you know, that's your responsibility as a submissive. But on the dominant side of things, you have the responsibility of weighing all the options, trying to find the best course, trying to make the best decision. Quite frankly, you couldn't pay me enough to be a damn dominant. There's a lot of work that goes into it. I mean, I work hard as a submissive.
Well, thank you.
But geez, I that's why I am the submissive. I like my side of the slash. Thank you very much. So, you know, a dominant has the responsibility of looking at all of the options, thinking about what the potential outcomes are if they say yes or if they say no, what the alternatives mm-hmm. might be. So instead of saying just a blanket no, you can say, okay, not this, but this instead over here. There's like a lot that goes into that. It sounds like work.
Yes.
It sounds like effort.
And you know, any Big D's listening, I know you will understand this. It is sometimes hard as hell when you say no. And especially if you have a little, and all of a sudden that pouty lip
that might be
drops.
A weapon in our arsenal, you know.
And those little puppy dog eyes come into play.
I'm very proud of my puppy dog eyes.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
I know you are. You got to dig those heels in.
Well, you know what's funny? It depends on what it is. Sometimes I recognize my own power here, okay? Like, I know I have big brown eyes, and I know I've got a pout that most people would fucking kill for, okay? I've had that since childhood.
A well-practiced pout.
Well, I've had, and then the full lips, and so then you pout out the full lips.
Yeah.
I know what I do. I got this. Practice that shit in the mirror. No, I don't, but I should.
Now I know what you're doing here all the time.
So I will admit that, of course, there are times when it's a no. That's the baby girl in me asked for a thing that I knew the answer was going to be no. And maybe it was a subconscious thing of wanting to be told no, wanting that little bit of control. Mm. I mean, there's probably some of that. But sometimes it is fun to do the pout puppy dog eye thing in order to get a firmer no. Like, I think if I pouted and I made the face and I looked all pitiful and you changed your mind, especially if it was something that was actually kind of like serious or something we had talked about previously, I would probably be disappointed. Like, it's a little bit, I don't want to minimize it because it's not something I consciously think about. I don't sit around plotting, oh, well, I'm going to ask him this question, and when he says no, then I'm going to do it. It's not like that. It's a natural sort of response, but it's a playful response. Like, I think I know deep down you're not changing your damn mind, and I don't want you to. Like,
right.
That would take something away, but I'm a baby girl, and I need to have my moment to look really, really pitiful because you're not going to change your mind, thank God. but I might get something else. And you never know. I don't ask for anything specific. I just, you know, ask for mercy.
Now you have it. You got inside the mind.
I am only one submissive baby girl. I do not speak on behalf of all of us. But there is another responsibility as a for dominance when it comes to the word no. In my personal opinion,
okay,
which is all this ever is, a dominant should not just arbitrarily say no all the time because they can.
No.
To me, there should... you sure about that, Daddy? You think you're so funny. You should have a reason for it. Now, I know every once in a while, if it's part of like the control kind of play thing, and it really is part of the kink, saying no just to say no because you can, that's kind of hot. But if we're talking about, there's this thing I want to do that is not within our rules, or there's this thing I want to, like in my case, I want to eat this thing and it's not unhealthy for me and it's been weeks since I had an indulgence. If you said no to all of those and I never had an indulgence,
right,
then it would become misery for me.
Yes, absolutely true.
And if you could not tell me, baby girl, the reason I'm saying no is because if you eat this thing, here's what I foresee happening.
Right.
Then if all I hear is no and there's no reason behind it, then the word itself kind of loses its meaning, and or I become miserable because I feel like and some people I know will do this, they sneak around because they're like, well, you're never going to tell me yes. And I'm unhappy and I'm going to go get what I need in some form or fashion.
Right.
And it's potentially going to be an unhealthy thing, or it's going to be a betrayal of trust, or it's going to be something that's going to sort of like...
Not good.
Not good at all.
Right. And it's a fine line.
Right. But because there's too much no and then there's not enough no.
Exactly.
I'll let you talk about how you walk that damn line, because I don't know. That's why I'm on this side of the slash. Thank you very much. I like my side of the slash.
Well, it's a matter of weighing out what's going on. All right. I mean, you know, all month you had been very good about avoiding.
It does help to be self-motivated. Sure.
Absolutely. And that is something that, you know, falls into play here. You worked very hard to stay away from those things. Yeah, there were a few times I had to remind you, yeah, baby girl.
Well,
what you doing there? Come on. No.
But Daddy.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to take those things into consideration. And, you know, when the time came, yeah, you earned your cake. You got your cake and eat it too.
Oh man, I almost buried my face in that cake.
Yeah, you did.
And then I started drinking water because my throat started feeling funny. And I was
right.
Like, fuck. Never mind.
And, you know, to say that it's work, that it's a job, yeah. Because it would almost be too easy just to, you know, okay, yeah, go ahead.
Right. And you know? And then at that point, from the submissive point of view, if all you ever did was, if I'm asking permission, and the reason I'm asking permission is because I want you to genuinely decide. And I understand that your decision might not go the way I want it to go. You might say no. That is part of sort of the power exchange and the dynamic.
Right.
It's I have given you the control. Now please use it. And
exactly.
If as a dominant out there, you're constantly going, yeah, yeah, whatever, whatever. I can't speak for your submissive, but let me tell you, as a submissive, how I would interpret that. Eventually, I would interpret that as,
right,
you don't really care. You have no desire to take the time and think about this, or this isn't working for you, but you're not telling me it's not working for you. And all I know is I'm not getting any of the control I want. And for some of us who depend on a certain amount of our DS dynamic to help us break bad habits or be healthier or be better in whatever way we want to be. Now, as a dominant, if you never tell me no, you're not actually helping me either.
Right.
Now, there can be an argument about personal responsibility and doing what you know you need to do. And some of that does have to come into play. Like I said, it does help if you are self-motivated as a submissive to do these things. But the whole point of what we do in DS is some form of power exchange.
Correct.
And if a dominant has agreed to take control and have control and make these decisions, then as a dominant, you have to actually do whatever the work might be to make a decision.
Absolutely. you know, if you as a dominant are in a position and you need to say no, and you don't, one, you're not doing your job. Okay? You are not doing your job. Your job is to look after your submissive. All right? So that is your job.
Y'all should see his serious face.
Two, by not saying no, not only are you not doing your job, you are also losing the respect of your submissive.
Even if that submissive doesn't realize it yet. Right. What they'll realize at some point is something's not right and I'm not getting what I want. And that might be the first thing they realize. But yeah, that I agree with that completely.
So, you know, you as a dominant have chosen to accept the submission and the power exchange. And that is a responsibility you have to live up to.
Absolutely. And throughout your relationship from the beginning and then throughout, because communication should never stop. And we call it negotiation, but that's just a nicer word for communication. You're constantly negotiating your relationship. And you have to, in the beginning, you have to agree to this level of control. Both of you have to agree to this level of control. And then you have to kind of keep talking about it, because as you move through it in reality, you'll figure out, oh, that was too much, or oh, that's not enough, or oh, we need to change things, or oh, this isn't quite working for me the way I thought it would. It's, you know, you can have any plan you want to. What is it? No plan survives contact with the enemy or whatever.
Right.
Like, the plan is one thing, and then putting the plan into action is another, and you do need to adjust. So, you know, maybe you thought you wanted to micromanage your submissive and give them permission for every little fucking thing. And then you realize, oh, wait, no, I can't do this. Well, it's your responsibility now to speak up and not just say yes to everything.
And yet there are some DS relationships that they do micromanage. Absolutely. And that's what they want.
But that's my whole point.
Yeah.
Some people go into it thinking that's exactly what I want. Realize they don't say a fucking word. And then the dominant's just saying yes to everything because they don't really want to make decisions. You're not a bad dominant or a bad person if you realize somehow partway into your DS relationship that, oh, I didn't want this level of control. This isn't working for me. You do become potentially a not so great dominant if you never fucking say anything. Yeah. Like, you have to talk about it. So if you're going to say yes to everything, you should be able to justify that yes. If you're going to say no to everything, I don't recommend that, by the way, you have to be able to justify that no.
Now, I'll be honest with you on something. When I was in my early mid-20s, you know, you hear people who say that they have a problem saying no.
I've heard that. I never had that problem. Sorry.
Well, see, I did at that time in my life. I could not say no to anyone for any reason.
I believe that about you. You're a very kind, decent human being, and you genuinely want to help people because you like people. I don't like people. I can say no to them.
Ah, okay.
You like people. I could see that being a problem for you.
So when I discovered DS, I slowly learned
the power of no.
The power of no.
Well, and I would think as a dominant, wouldn't that, when it's a justifiable no, isn't that a little bit of a power rush? Like, I got to say no, and they've agreed they're going to do this thing that I'm telling them to do. Oh, hello.
Baby girl.
Yes, daddy. He's full of my hair.
No.
Ooh, there was a tingle there. And I don't think I was the only one who felt that tingle. And I think, as always, these things come down to the thing we think we want or the person we think we are, and then who we are when we're actually in the middle of it, when we're actually doing it. So the other side of the slash is true, too. A submissive might think, oh, no, I want you to decide everything for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a legitimate way to be, as long as your partner agrees and you can find a method that works for you. But it's also equally possible that you thought that. It's sort of like, y'all know, we have either been there or we know somebody who has said this, I have no limits, do what you want with me. Well, we already know that's problematic. But
when you're at work and you realize, oh, I have to call master to get permission to go to the bathroom.
Right. And some people can do it, and more power to them, but the vast majority of us cannot. So it's the same correlation. So just like you thought you had no limits, you also thought, oh, you can control everything. Until the rubber meets the road, okay?
Right.
And a lot of us are still navigating our work, our vanilla family, kids. Like, there's a whole bunch of other parts of our life that make micromanagement very difficult. We have seen it work. We have seen it is possible.
It's possible, absolutely.
Man, you both really have to want that.
Correct.
So as a submissive, if your initial agreement was, well, I'm going to ask you permission for everything, and then you realize, fuck this shit, I do not want to have to ask to go to the damn bathroom anymore. Well, instead of sneaking and not following your agreement, your job is to go to your partner and go, we've got to talk about this. Some things aren't quite working for me and I need to adjust. And you never know, your partner might go, thank God, I can't do this anymore either. No, go to the bathroom when you fucking want to go to the bathroom. But it's, I don't know, it's a big responsibility to be told no and to tell somebody no.
Yes.
Because it's pretty easy. It's, in the beginning, when you're still kind of in that new relationship energy and everything's kinky and delicious and good, and you're like, yes, I'm a dominant, I'm a submissive, look at me doing this thing I wanted to do. It's very easy on that sort of emotional high to go, oh yeah, I can follow all the orders, or ooh, being told no is sexy. Well, there's going to come a point where you're going to have done it long enough, or you're going to just have relaxed into your role a little bit. You're going to be much more comfortable with it. It's not going to be as new and exciting, even though it's not as new and exciting 4 years on as it was when we first met. But it's still good. It's just different, right? Yeah. So there's going to come that point whenever it hits you. That's probably when you're gonna go, oh wait, I'm some of this isn't working for me. And I see way too many people, instead of just having the conversation, sneaking around, and especially from a submissive point of view, sneaking around doing what they want anyway and going, oh, I'm not supposed to. Well, y'all, that's an integrity issue. It's a major issue of integrity, you know?
Right.
I recognize that it's somehow, quote, easier, air quote easier, to just do what you want and pretend or whatever. You're killing the trust. Eventually you'll get caught, or you'll tell on yourself. And if your partner's been paying attention, has been taking it as seriously as you should be taking it, or thought you wanted to be taking it, or whatever, they're going to be hurt. You know, they're going to be angry. They're not going to trust you, all to avoid being told no, or all to avoid having to ask whatever the question is. It's not worth it. Just have a conversation.
Absolutely.
And both sides of the slash are going to mess up. So a submissive is going to be tempted, and I say this as a submissive who has been tempted, to not heed the no, to really have wanted the thing, and to go in your mind, could I get away with it? Would my partner know? I am the world's worst liar. So I do not, I might have that momentary thought. I do not give into it, because I will tell myself the guilt alone would eat me alive. And then I would go telling myself, and then I'd really be in trouble, and I don't even want to know what that kind of trouble looks like. On the other side, there's going to be a time when a dominant's going to realize, like, within moments or within days, that, oh, I should have said yes when I said no. I should have said no when I said yes. And it's going to cause a problem. You're not infallible. It happens. Right. You make the wrong decision sometimes. Maybe it's because you didn't have enough information. Maybe it's because you didn't ask the right questions. Maybe it's because you weren't paying as much attention. Maybe you just hoped for a different outcome. Whichever side of the slash you're on when it comes to the word no, when you figure out you have fucked up, run quickly to the other and confess and apologize. Say, I fucked this up. I did this wrong. I am sorry. We need to talk. Let's work through this. Now, I'll tell you, as a submissive, it is physically painful to me to have you apologize to me when you think you've done wrong. Sometimes you think you've done wrong, and I'm going, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's fine. And sometimes I'm thinking, oh God, he was wrong, but I didn't want him to be wrong. I really want him to stop apologizing, because I don't want to think about the fact that he was wrong for 10 seconds.
I know, but that goes to saying, just because you're a big D doesn't mean you're not infallible. Doesn't mean you're infallible.
True. And it, you know, being given the control to say yes or no to another human being and have them do what you've told them to do, that's a huge responsibility and one that should not be taken lightly, for sure. But it's also something that you're not going to be perfect at all the time.
No.
And sometimes you're going to realize you messed up, but there were no bad consequences for it, thankfully. But you're going to go, oh, that did not go the way I wanted that to go.
Right.
It is always better to sort of say, hey, submissive partner person, come here. Let's talk about this. You know how I said no to that thing? I should have said yes, and here's why. And next time, I might make a different answer. Or, you know how I told you, yeah, well, I should have told you no, and here's why. And it's a time to talk. And in the future, this is how I will think of these things.
Right.
You know, you are not, I mean, we are all, there's a word, but it's late at night for recording this, so I can't think of the word. We all have free will, though. Right. So we're all choosing this. It's all about consent, right? So I have to consent to you giving me permission.
Right.
You have to consent to me coming to you to request something or to ask permission.
Correct.
I have to consent to doing what you said. I have to consent. If you say no, I have to consent to doing that thing that you said, or not doing that thing that you said. And we're not robots. And sometimes we're going to be mad about it. And sometimes we're not going to like it. And sometimes, you know, you're going to get it wrong or whatever. But it's a choice we make. And so you can make a different choice next time. Same question that I asked you today. You can make a different choice in your answer the next time I ask it. And the next time I ask it and you make a different choice, I can make a different choice in how I react.
Well, it depends on the circumstances.
Right.
Okay. Just like prior to the wedding, you were on a mission to not eat the things you shouldn't be eating.
I should still be on that mission.
and you will be back on that mission very soon, very shortly.
Thank you, Daddy.
But, so, you know, if I had said yes every time,
I wouldn't have met my goal.
Right. So, therefore, you met your goal. So, if on our wedding night, you asked for a piece of cake, which you were well in your right to have, and I would have said no,
I might have disobeyed you right there in front of God and everybody. I don't know what I would have done, but I think that's what would have happened.
Right?
Damn the consequences. So
that's, you know, it's all about...
It's about judgment calls is what it is.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's about judgment calls. It's judgment calls on the side of the dominant to look at a situation, to have kind of an idea of how you think things are going to go, or how things have been in the past. Nobody, but specifically in terms of a dominant, no dominant can make a good judgment if they don't have all the information. So that's why, like we said, it's the responsibility of a submissive to provide as much information as possible.
Yeah.
So that you can make the best decision possible. But no sub is going to find it easy to acquiesce to a denial and to say, oh, you've told me no, okay, if they don't trust their dominant. If they don't trust that their dominant has their, there's again a word, gone, doesn't have their needs in mind, doesn't, you know, want the best for them.
Right.
There's totally a word and I've lost it. So if the dominant's not doing their job and the trust is eroding away, there's a good chance that that submissive will either do what they're told but begrudgingly, or kind of have a fuck you kind of moment. And at that point, if you get to a point where the dominant's saying, no, you can't do this, and the submissive's reaction is fuck you, man, there's some really big problems there, okay? Mm-hmm. That are way beyond the scope of, oh, I was told no and I did not like it. But that's another part of the conversation that has to be had. If you've been a grown-ass person doing your own thing for a long time and have made your own decisions, it is sometimes at some point in your DS relationship going to be harder to take the word no than you imagined it would.
Well, for example, what happened today? We were out and about most of the day. We had to be out of the house because of work going on in the neighborhood.
We had no water for several hours, y'all. It was awful. So we went to Starbucks.
Yeah. And afterwards, for lunch, we decided to go to a new smoothie place that we found. And we got there, and she was looking at the menu, and she wanted a particular smoothie. Now, this particular smoothie contained whey protein.
Which I can't have.
And you had looked behind the counter and saw that it was a natural...
Organic type of protein
that you had used before and wanted to give it a try. So I said, okay. I said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a damn good smoothie, too.
It is. But...
I've had an immediate reaction.
You had an immediate reaction to it.
I'm so, miserable.
Damn well and sure, next time we go, you say you want that particular smoothie with that whey protein.
I know.
I will be saying, no, you have to choose another one that doesn't have that in it.
Or the compromise, and here's what I would do, and this is how I would handle. This is real life. I would say, or, hey, Daddy, can I say, please leave out the protein?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Acceptable.
See, sometimes a no is a no for that specific, maybe I should have been a lawyer. It's a no for that specific set of circumstances. And if you can find a slightly different set of circumstances, sometimes... Yeah. You get what you want.
Right.
It's just not what you originally wanted. I'll be teaching Manipulation 101 courses.
I won't.
See, that's the thing. I have been with people who were not as thoughtful or as intelligent as my darling John Brownstone. And I have not maliciously, because I want to be a malicious person and I can't. Like, the guilt consumes me. But I have inadvertently manipulated the fuck out of those kind of people. Because I could find the right set of words to make him go, oh yeah, that sounds good. And in my head I'm going, you're an idiot. I just got what the hell I want.
I got you wrapped around my fingers.
Yeah, I know. I don't feel good about that. I don't stay with those people, around those people for very long. Thank you very much. I actually like somebody who's got enough mental strength to come back at me. And
a little backbone?
And can see through kind of what I'm doing. Because I don't, like I said, I don't do it on purpose. But man, I'll work really hard to get what I want.
Give you an inch, you take a foot kind of thing?
Whatever.
Yeah. I think I hit a nerve with that one, folks.
But you know what's funny? That goes back to the heart of DS in general, right? It's that whole thing of a submissive isn't everybody submissive or anybody submissive. They are the submissive to a specific dominant, right?
Correct.
And for every DS relationship you get into, you're a slightly different submissive every time because you're feeding off the other person's energy.
Correct.
So for me, in order to be willing to submit to somebody and say, yes, you may have the control and I will give you trust and honesty and allow you to tell me no when I might really be thinking yes, right? Like, that's a big deal. I can't do that for just anybody. And they have to be intelligent and they have to be able to see through some of the bullshit that will come out of my mouth. Like, that's a requirement. Even, I mean... Could I'm kind of the type that can't even really like be friends with or even sort of play with people that are can't do that to a small extent. Like I kind of need that intellectual battle as well. It's mm-hmm. not for me. It's not just the physical. It's not even just the emotional. It's definitely the mental. And if you can't give as good as you get from me, then I'm probably not interested. I like you real good. Think you're cute. Think you're hot. Maybe like every other thing about you, but I lose interest.
Yeah.
Because I need those mental gymnastics. I need the intellect side of it from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, not just anybody could tell me no. And if I could wiggle my way out of it by talking my way out of it, oh, that would be a problem. That would totally be a problem. But because I know that you... take into consideration what I'm saying, know what my long-term goals are, because see, look, the other thing about this is you have to be constantly communicating with one another. Before your partner, your dominant partner can make a well-informed decision about yes or no about this thing, they need to know things. Like,
right.
Yes, we live together and now we're married and I would like to just keep saying those words over and over again. But... he knows, one, he knows my health and my weight goals. He knows what certain foods do to me. He knows how I feel about myself and how I want to feel about myself. Like, he knows intimate details. And so when I say to him, hey, daddy, can I have this thing that's a food thing? Or do I have to go to the gym today? When he says yes or no, he's making a fully formed decision. And sometimes I can say, oh, wait, what if we tweak it, like the smoothie thing, right? What if we tweak it? That's a really good smoothie. I already made one tweak. It had peanut butter. I can't have peanut butter. So I was like, let me have almond butter. They're like, yeah, sure. So then right. I say, you're like, no, you can't have that with that whey protein, right? Well, then I get to come back. This is negotiation, y'all. Okay, what if I request the whey protein not be in it? Then the answer becomes a yes. I didn't manipulate my way through that. We had an adult conversation and I negotiated my way through that.
And reached a compromise.
Exactly. And he could still say no. He could say, I think that one's got too many calories. Or I think that is a rare treat and you need to stick with the green smoothie or whatever. And that translates to any situation. Like, we're harping on smoothies because that was our lunch and it was really fucking good.
Yeah.
And if we had not gone and gotten the smoothies, I think we would have emotionally eaten our way through the day. We'll talk about that in the bonus section. but it can be anything. Any right. situation works that way. Any moment you're in where you as a submissive have given control up to your dominant and you ask the question, can I do this? Can I go here? Can I have this thing? They need to know more than just the question, right? They need background. They need to know what the hell's going on to make a good decision. They give you the answer. The answer is no. And they should be able to, the dominant should be able to say, and here's why it is no. Or you should know, because you've been doing all the talking, why the answer is no. And if you can come up with a way to make the solution acceptable to your dominant, mm-hmm. you need to be free to do that. They can still say no, but you need to have that freedom to talk it through. And at the same time, dominant can't say no all the fucking time, because that just sort of leads to problems. They can't say yes all the damn time, because then who the fuck's got control? I can see a situation, I will add a caveat. I can see a situation where what you like as a submissive is just the asking permission part, right? So you ask permission for things you know your partner will say yes to. Can I go to the bathroom right now? Yes. Can I have water with dinner? Yes, right? Like, you, because for you, the good part is just the asking of permission. That's totally cool. And if that's all you need, that's fine. They can say yes. But if what you're looking for is, I need you to be the decider and I need you to think about this issue and weigh it and think about me and think about our goals and think about our life and think about all the mm-hmm. other things and help me figure this out, then the answer can never be arbitrary. It can never always be one thing or another. It should not most of the time be decided by the flip of a coin, unless quite frankly, neither of you can come up with a better option yeah. and then flip the fucking coin, okay? It's an inherent trust you're having with one another that I'm going to give you this control and you're going to use it wisely, right? And then the flip side for the dominant is, you gave me the control, I made the best decision I could, now I have to trust you, my submissive, to do what I said. Now, this brings me to what I kind of think is like, I hope is my final point, but who knows with me? I could go off on another tangent like I've just done. submissives are not automatically required to just do what their dominant says. It is about having consent, okay? And a submissive, right. any partner in DS, can withdraw their consent at any point. So I say this with the thought that what we've expressed in the past like 40 minutes is based on the fact that you're both consenting to this power exchange. You both want it, and the submissive wants to do what their dominant tells them to do. Okay, so in those circumstances, then going behind your partner's back, doing what you want to do anyway, lying, whatever, those are all awful things. But I don't want a single submissive to think that they cannot withdraw their consent. That if their dominant partner tells them, no, you can't do something, and the no is a dangerous thing, right? Because those are your dynamics of you're always going to ask permission, but then they gave you an answer that's not good for you. Like, you can objectively step back and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. If I do or don't do what you tell me to do, I'll get in trouble at work, or something will happen with the kids, or my family will be, mm-hmm. That there are consequences that you don't want to face.
Let's play a what if game.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Okay.
You're just interrupting my tangent, but that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. So let's play a what if game for a moment. All right. So we know that there are particular foods that affect you adversely.
Right.
Okay. In a very bad way.
Oh, God. I'm going through it right now.
Okay. So what if, we had talked about prior to the wedding, you not eating certain foods, so your reward would be a piece of the wedding cake.
Mm-hmm.
And leading up to that time, you could lose weight and be healthier and yada yada. We negotiated that. That was part of our agreement. Mm-hmm. So what happens if 2 weeks in, you decide, that's it. I'm fed up with this shit. I'm going to eat whatever I want. Damn the consequences. I'm just going to do it regardless.
This gets to the point I was trying to make, that I was like not getting to my point because I was on my tangent. If you withdraw your consent because the denial you received puts you in danger or hits a hard limit or mm-hmm. something, that's one thing, okay? If you withdraw your consent because it's just too fucking hard and you just don't want to fucking do it, that is always your right as a human being. But at that point, you are pretty much required. If you want the relationship to continue, you're required to sit down and have a very serious conversation with your dominant. Because at that point, you're withdrawing your consent, and it's not because of a bad outcome. It's because you just don't wanna. You are free to just not wanna, but telling your dominant partner, I just don't wanna, is also a way for them to look at you and go, well, I just don't wanna be your dominant if you're not gonna behave as a submissive. Now, I think sometimes people who become really emotional and they sort of tap up against things that bother them. Like for me, every time I've ever gone through, I'm not going to eat this kind of food for whatever reason, even like right now, it is physically painful to eat certain foods. That doesn't make it any less easy to give them up. Like I've given up every comfort food I have. It's really, really awful. And I have had these moments where I have cried and whined and just been miserable and said, I don't want to do this anymore. This is too hard. The difference was that you, John Brownstone,
mm-hmm.
could see through what was really happening. You understood that I was in a bad place. I was in a low spot. I was feeling anxiety. I was right. unable to fall back on old comforts. So what you did, instead of throwing up your hands and going, well, fuck this shit, I'm done, you talked me through it so that I then came back around and said, okay, no, this is really what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Let's move forward. If, however, I had said, I cannot do it this way, in my mind, the onus would have been on me, but I know you would have helped me. Then the next step is to find the way that it does work. Like I've said that, you can have control over this, but fuck this shit, it's too hard. Okay, fine. Then what will work? What will get you to the same goal?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it takes longer. Maybe it doesn't, it's a different winding path. It's not a straight point A to point B. We got to zigzag a little bit. But how do we figure out a way that works? Because if a submissive gets to the point where they're throwing up their hands and they're angry or they're hurt or they're just overly emotional, like, fuck it. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it this way anymore. That's something that has to be taken seriously. They are
mm-hmm.
withdrawing their consent. Did they really mean it? Will they reconsent after they calm down? Maybe. But maybe the method that you both thought would work
mm-hmm.
doesn't work. doesn't mean you throw the baby out with the bathwater. It means you go find a new way. But what I would say to submissives is if every single time your dominant tells you no to something, you want to fight against it. And I don't mean as part of your kink. I mean like you go to war in your own mind. You think about sneaking around and doing what you want to do. You fight with your dominant. You would temporarily withdraw your consent until you get what you want. If you are resisting every single fucking time you're told no, it's time for some really serious conversations. It's possible that the dynamic isn't working for you. It's possible that it's too much. It's possible that there are other issues going on and you need to deal with those. Maybe there's a trust problem. Maybe there's a communication problem. It could be anything. It could just be that you're scared. Submission can be scary.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not at the point of fully trusting your other partner yet. Like, you didn't really get to fully dominate me till there was some serious trust.
True.
Because I can't do it any other way. But some people get so excited to submit or just want to jump in with both feet that they will ignore that voice screaming in the back of their head, whoa, put the brakes on, slow your roll, y'all. And the next thing you know, it hits them when they're in the middle of
right.
it. Right? So if, as a submissive, yes, you have every fucking right to withdraw your consent at any point. I think if your relationship is otherwise good, mostly, you have a responsibility to talk this through with your dominant. You don't just go, no, fuck this, no, and walk out. You need to talk it through.
Right.
But if you are constantly pushing back against every no you get, then it's really time for some heart-to-hearts. And maybe it's time for some self-reflection first. I'm a big, huge fan of fucking self-reflection. Just sit quietly with your own head sometimes and you'd be surprised at the things that come out. He just jumped. Okay. He had a moment and it threw me off. So no's are more than just a no. Denial is more than just a denial. And y'all, this is separate and apart from the stuff, the kinky stuff that gets you off. I really get off on hearing, no, you can't come. Okay, I whine a little bit because I'm a baby girl too, but that's hot and exciting, you know?
Yeah.
You get off on hearing me say no. It's why we have a safe word, because if I'm going, no, daddy, no, we know that I don't really mean no.
Right.
I mean, oh yeah, keep doing that right there. that was the spot right there. Like, no is got a whole bunch of meetings and a whole bunch of layers in DS. This specific no is within the discipline and control aspect of your dynamic.
Right.
And there is no single right way to do it. There isn't. And it's all on a spectrum. From the absolute micromanage every single detail of your life, we've only met two couples that we know that do that.
Yeah.
Two. And man, you think DS takes work. That shit takes work.
Mm-hmm.
All the way to the other end of the spectrum where there's not really a lot of rules. There's not really a lot of permission asked. There's just expectations. And the submissive knows who's in charge. Like, it can be anything from one end to the other. But if control in that form is going to be some part of your DS relationship, subs, you're going to need to start thinking, if you've never heard the word no from your dominant and it's a possibility because of how your dynamic works, I'm telling you, from one submissive to another, start thinking about it now, because I don't remember the first thing you told me no about that wasn't kinky fuckery related, but I remember going, wait, what? I thought I was just asking for permission as a matter of form. I didn't know there was going to be a real answer at the end of this.
Surprise!
You know, and it was hard.
Yeah.
Because especially those of us who've had, you know, a life before DS, a different partner before DS, I would imagine even if you've had that same partner, like you were vanilla and now you're kinky together, you've got a history of making your own fucking decisions. And I remember in the very beginning, it was kind of a relief because I'd been making decisions since I was 19. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. But he was making decisions, but he wasn't telling me no. We were in agreement on everything. So once that relief feeling was passed and I asked for something that he said no to, oh yeah, that shit was like, what? Wait, you can do that? You can say no? and I'm going to listen to you. And that is also a moment that goes through your head, at least as a, through mine as a submissive of, am I really going, have I really given this control up? Do I, and this is all happening within seconds. Do I trust him enough? Am I going to do it? This feels weird. This feels kind of good. This feels, wait, what? But I wanted to do that thing. But wait, he might be right. Let me think of this. Like,
wow.
My brain is constantly going, I don't know. I don't think I'm the only one out there like that. And I think some people are like that, but they don't spend enough time in their head yet to know about that. Like, I feel like I should do a whole thing on self-reflection. Like, that's just my jam. It's to just go in your head and sit there for a while. And I do that all the time. So, yeah, I know that, those are my racing thoughts. And that all happens. And then I go, yes, Daddy. And, you know, even when I'm not necessarily thrilled with the answer, I trust you enough to believe that you've got my best interest at heart. And that's the best answer that you've got, and that, so I will go with it, and I will keep putting my trust in you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So basically, to be told no is a submissive, and then to do or not do the thing, it's all about trust.
True.
Ultimately, from both sides of the slash.
True.
So see, it all comes back to trust. It all comes back to communication and trust.
And trust.
Every bit of it. Everything we do.
Yeah.
Man, we shouldn't tell the people who are here just for the kinky sex. They won't understand. That sometimes it's not quite as kinky as you might think. It's really just about talking to one another.
That's true. So
I don't think I have anything else to rant about. I'm looking at my outline. We hit all my points. Yeah. Yay. I do want to say this, and I mentioned it, but I don't think I focused on it long enough. Maybe I did, and people are like, fuck, you're going to say it again? Yes, I am. Any form of denial in your dynamic, whether it's orgasm denial or it's just kinky fun where I want to do this thing, no, and it's part of your play, or the control of day-to-day stuff, all of that has to be negotiated between the two of you. All of it. Every freaking bit of it. And then, like I know I said earlier, you keep talking about it because you'll put it into practice and you'll go, oh, that doesn't quite work. Oh, I could use more of that. Oh, I'm not sure how I feel about this. And you've got to talk it through with each other and find what works for both of you. And it is a constant experimentation until you kind of find your pattern. And then I promise you, you'll find your pattern and then life will like blip again and you got to find a new way.
Right.
Okay. So it's a constant adjustment sort of thing. So any form of denial and that kind of control in DS has to be talked about, has to be consented to, and has to continue to be talked about and consented to throughout. So if I had to leave anybody on a point about the word no, that would be it. Okay, I think I'm good.
Good?
Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay, so we're going to do a bonus section.
Yeah.
And we got mail.
Yeah.
And we got the story behind why you're so fucking grumpy. But I've got you laughing, so did I pull it out of you a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right.
Okay.
Are we good?
Vaguely.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week.
No.
Daddy! You can't say no with that gleam in your eye and not me not whine about it. Please, Daddy.
Baby girl.
Yes, Daddy.
I said no.
But you have that look in your eyes. But Daddy, so there are crickets on the other side waiting for us. And while you're having fun denying me, they are
being neglected. It doesn't seem to be stopping you either.
I think we had this conversation earlier. It requires a ball gag. And even then, I will probably figure out a way to make myself be understood. Please, Daddy.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm going to start with mail because we got mail today. And then we can bitch about the thing that happened. Okay. So we got two postcards. Mel sent birthday card and wedding card. And then her, I don't want to gender you. I believe her, but it could be him. They, Mel's postcard from... it's actually from Sydney, Australia, arrived. And Mel says that I recently found your podcast and have been binge listening from the start. Thank you for a fun and informative show.
Keep smiling.
Keep smiling. thank you. I worry for y'all when you binge. Like, at what point do you go, I cannot fucking take her voice anymore? And then you walk away going, I need a break. I need like a 6 month break. That's way too fucking much. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for the cards and the postcards. And yes, it's awesome. Next postcard is from Meg. And I don't have a kink name. So we're going to keep it at Meg, from New York. And this one says, congratulations on your, quote, official marriage. You're beautiful. Keep. That's so shiny. Print it over. It's shining, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Meg. And this one, the front is, are we having fun yet? Zippy the pinhead. It's a really cool postcard. Yep. I need to take more pictures and put them up, but I have not. I have been really awful about that. Yay! And then, so I knew when I pulled this out of the box, I knew it was from Pixie Heart because there's a queen pig with fairy wings and sticker too. And there's rainbows stickers
and unicorns.
And I'm like, that's gotta be Pixie. And then I turn it over and it says in the bottom corner, Pixie mail. And this is the best part of the whole thing. Okay, there's a lot good going on here, but give me the moment for hyperbole. This is the best part. It is addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Brownstone.
Yeah.
Now that I will take. At the wedding, they kept referring to us as Mr. and Mrs. and then his last name. And I was like, yeah, no, those are my in-laws. Except they're not even married anymore. So I don't know. I don't know. Okay. So in our wonderful package of amazing, awesome sauce is a postcard that says, please find enclosed a thank you for sharing. Pixie had her babies, and then we were the ones who were absolutely honored. Yeah. Everybody was like, we're kind of at the hospital with babies, and Pixie, can you let the world know she had her babies? And they asked us, and we were like, yes, happily. And then there's a birthday card from Kayla from the girls, totally there. And then there was something wrapped in Hello Kitty paper, and this is what I love about this. It's a small gift to Kayla from Little Bear to help you write. Pixie says, no idea what it is, as she wrapped it before I saw it, but she promised me it's not rude and is safe. And I'm thinking, yeah, but it could be rude and not safe, and I'd probably love it anyway, so it doesn't matter. So the magic special gift, if you want to see a picture of it, we'll put it up on Twitter, right? I put it on Twitter because yeah. I wanted Pixie to see it. It is a pink Hello Kitty twist pin with Hello Kitty's head at one end and my pin at the other, and it is precious and I love it. Now, what she doesn't say, sorry about that. There's a card for our wedding and a homemade gift from Pixie that's an Irish tradition, and it is a homemade horseshoe that says good luck that we can hang somewhere, and I'm not sure where we're going to hang it, but we need to hang it.
Yes.
I know.
We'll find a spot.
And we love it, and thank you, and we love our cards, and we've got they're very pretty cards. I really need to, and the glitter stickers that sealed the envelopes, and also apparently in the UK, your glue on your envelopes is like super extra special hard because I was almost ripping into this damn envelope with my teeth to get to our cards. But thank you, thank you, thank you. We've had several people say on Twitter, I was going to put something in the mail, or I have put something in the mail. So now I'm obsessively checking our mail because I'm like, cards and postcards and yay and fun little goodies because, y'all, I'm a baby girl. Like the vanilla side of me goes, oh, nobody should send me presents. The baby girl side of me goes, presents. So I only let that side of me come out sometimes. If you would like to send us a postcard or a card, if you send us a postcard or a card, some people do like cards with an envelope, which is fine. But if you send us mail that is not a bill with your return address on it, then we will send you special mail. I have a stack
that I
need to respond to, plus our thank you cards for the wedding. I've got to do those too. Better not get those mixed up. That'll be awkward. but if you would like to send us mail and we will read the safe bits out on an episode, you can do that. The address is, I'm trying to stall so people can pull their notes app up or get a pen or however you do it, blood, whatever. Okay, here we go. P.O. Box 391. P.O. Box 391. Crystal Beach, Florida. Crystal Beach, Florida, 34681. I almost gave the wrong zip code. 34681. And if you're like, fuck, I'm driving, I can't do this right now. It's okay. It's okay.
It'll be in the show notes.
It's in the show notes. It's always in the show notes. Well, a link to it's in the show notes. Either way, doesn't matter. So, okay, done postcards. We love our postcards. Now it is time to bitch.
Yeah.
I actually, it was so funny. I thought, what are we going to talk about in the the bonus section today. Oh, we did an entire wedding episode. Oh no. So
it got better.
It got, well, the being Mrs. Baby Girl and Mr. Daddy is awesome. Nothing can take that.
No.
We are happily married. We are happy together. I made a doctor's appointment today to see an allergist, and the nice lady's like, well, who can we list as your emergency contact? And I got to say, this is the first time I've gotten to say it. My husband. I was like, and she didn't know why I immediately sounded way happier to be making this appointment. And a couple of times this week, I've gotten to say to total strangers, we just got married on Saturday. And they all go, oh, congratulations. And I'm like, I know, we just got married. And I'm like, how many times can I say this in a conversation and it be legitimate? With the lady we were talking to today, I think I said it 3 times in 30 seconds. I don't know. So here's what happened.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool problem to have, and then it's a really shitty problem to have. My wedding set, my engagement ring, and my wedding band.
I bought it as a set.
Right. And it's because I asked for that. I never had a set, and that feels very grown up to me, and that's what I want. It's way too big.
Yeah.
It's a size and a half too big, which is a wonderful,
wonderful problem to have. Yes.
So we had said, okay, right after the wedding, let's go take these in and find out what it would cost to get them sized. So the first place we went to, they're not open that for like a week. They're on vacation. It's a local place. They're
right.
They're like, oh, shit. So then we go to another one, and the guy's looking at the metal, and it's a sterling silver. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I've never seen this kind of sterling silver. I'm afraid to work on it. I might ruin your ring. And we're standing in the jeweler going, what?
What?
And I'm thinking, oh, my God, did he get sold like, you know, copper, and they just painted something over? Like, what the hell's happened? So we come home. He does the research from the place he got the ring. No, it's just a different kind of sterling silver. Supposed to be better. Supposed to be this. Supposed to be that. And you went and ran an errand yesterday, and you went by another jeweler.
Yes.
To ask them, hey, have you worked on this kind of stuff? Because the other jeweler was like,
he ain't touching
it. I'm not touching it because I don't know what, I have never worked on it. I don't know what it'll do to your rings. And I appreciate that. Please don't just try and take my money and then fuck up my wedding rings, right? Okay, so we go in today, and the guy, and he was so cute.
He was.
Another time I was like, I think it might be inappropriate to think about how cute this guy is. The guy at the smoothie place was also really good looking. They both made my mouth water. Whatever. Anyway, so good looking, both of them. I might be drooling now. Whatever. So this guy. Hey,
let me wipe get that out.
So this guy, he's got his, like, he's one of the guys that works in the back. It's a jeweler that makes custom jewelry, repairs jewelry, all in-house.
Right.
He's got his special glasses, those magnifying glasses on thing. He's looking at it, he goes, oh, yeah, this is sterling silver. And he goes, oh, well, we can resize it. He says, oh, it's got this coating on it that gives it the shine. He says, I don't have to put it back on, but if you want it to be shiny and clean, I'm like, I want it to be shiny. He goes, well, I'm going to need to do that. He says, when I make the cut on this one that is pretty and shiny, the wedding band that hasn't been worn but for a few days, he's like, I'll have to recoat that one. And so he's adding this up. And the more he's talking, I'm thinking, holy fucking shit, how expensive is this resizing going to be? And we're getting up over $300 to resize these rings. And I'm like, what?
And they're taking out. They're not putting in.
Right. And they're taking out. They're making it smaller. And I'm like, well, okay. And then he says, oh. And he's got it like under his laser thing where he can see everything, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, we have another problem. I'm like, fuck. I go, okay. And he says, there is a crack in the setting.
In the setting.
Not in the stone. The stones are fine. But in the setting. And I'm like, what? And he shows it to us like he's not selling. He's not snake oil salesman. He's legit. He was
I
saw
it.
Done anything he said with my daddy's permission. Anyway.
No.
He had a broken that boy. Yeah. He was so young and so cute. Anyway. So in my head, I'm doing this math. And before he's told us what he's like, and we can repair it. Not a problem.
Right.
So in my head, I'm going, this is over $300 at this point. Why am I repairing this? And because it's already occurred to me, one, I will likely lose weight, some more weight, right?
Right.
Now that once we get the eating thing taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, we're going to have to resize it again. The engagement ring I've been wearing for just over a year, and it needs to have the finish put on it. So it's going to need it again in probably a year.
And the setting's cracked.
And the setting's cracked. So will it...
And it's not like you wore it hard.
No, I actually did not wear it very often because I'm so rough on my hands. I was like...
Right.
I would wear it when I was going out and I didn't have to use my hands. I don't wear it when I work at home. You know, like I'm really careful with it, which kills me because I'm the type that wants to constantly wear my, you know... It's a little bit like wearing a collar. Like, I want to wear this all the time. So, I'm thinking, we're going to be back here. Maybe not for all of these problems at one time, but the refinishing to keep it shiny, that's going to be every couple of years because that'll drive me nuts. And hopefully, we'll be resizing. And this is racking up. And so, I said, I have a question. I didn't even ask Daddy. I was like, I'm just going to ask this question. I said, we're over $300 now. He goes, yeah, you're about $350, $375. Yeah. I said, wouldn't it? What's the cost of a new set? And he's looking at me. And y'all, if you follow my personal blog, CaitlinLords.com, this won't come as a shock to you because I just wrote a post this week about how I'm not a sentimental person. And I feel really bad about that. And he's like, well, we can do that. And he says, I just sort of assumed that this was really special and he wanted to keep it. I said, it's special because he gave it to me. That's what makes it special. And I do love it. And it is beautiful. But I'm also disgustingly pragmatic, and I feel really bad that I am. So I'm like, what would the cost be to get something new? So he, poor thing, his job is to work in the back and look pretty and make rings. So he finally hands us over to a sales lady. And I know this from what little bit I know about jewelry. I know white gold is going to be more durable. But I also know we have a budget, and I'm like, just lay it on me. Am I right in assuming we will be back over and over again to keep these rings in good condition, looking good, blah, blah, blah. And the little dude had said, it could be just really brittle metal. It could crack again. We might be repairing it again. And I'm like, I'm hearing cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching in my head. And I'm sad, but I'm really pissed off because the more this gets talked about, the more my daddy has this look on his face like, oh my God, I've done a bad thing. I'm an idiot. I've made a bad choice. And I'm like, and I know he's looking at these rings in my finger going, what have I put on her finger? Right. What the fuck? And that is killing me. Like, I could kind of care less. Like, I want a pretty ring. I'm a baby girl. I want a pretty ring. I wanted purple. I wanted a wedding set. But what I really want is for John Brownstone to look at my fucking hand and go, I put that fucking ring on her finger. And that is my mark on her. That's what I want. And he's not looking at my hand like that anymore. Like,
no,
not at all. So I forgot for a minute I was the little less. And I'm looking at this sales lady going, lay it on me. What would it cost? And they're trying to finagle. Oh, well, we'll take this stone out of your ring and we'll put in a new one and we'll do this and we'll do that. And it's hard and it's expensive. And we're like spending time we did not prepare to spend trying to find the right setting. And I'm like, And then practical me stepped forward and went, no. What would a new set cost with another purple stone? And she went, oh, I said, I can keep these. Like, if we get my lock off, I'll pop those rings around this and it'll just stay there and it'll still be with me all the time. Right. I don't care. But I'm like, no. What if it's just something different and new? And so we debated and we talked and we made that lady go away and leave us alone so we could talk.
Right.
And today, not quite a week after we were married, we bought a brand new wedding set. So it's painful. We were like really debating and I'm pulling out the calculator on my phone out there in the jeweler and we're like, this is a lot of money because it was not cheap because it is a deep purple amethyst. I think it's going to be beautiful. It is a white gold band and solitaire set. It is brand new. It is from a like really nice jeweler in town. Like, it's not fucking cheap, but I've seen how they warranty that stuff. And I know that I'm going to go up in there when I need to, and they're going to fucking take care of my ring. So we spent a lot of money that we were not prepared to spend. And in a couple of weeks, I will have a brand new wedding band set.
Yeah.
There is, because I am a silver liner person, a silver lining person, okay. I was saying, and I was like, silver liner? No, that doesn't sound like eyeliner. That sounds like trash bags. No. I look for the silver lining in everything. Here's the coolest thing about this fucking ring. It is still perfect. It is a different kind of perfect. The first one you bought me was perfect because it was the first really pretty jewelry a man I loved had ever purchased for me. And I wore it like it is your mark on me. Mm-hmm. This particular one has a what they called a rope setting.
Yes.
I didn't tell the little lady behind the counter. I'm like, that's a bondage ring, and we're buying this one because he's going, I really like that setting. Now I have picked out like six. I'm like, I like this one, I like that one. He's like, no, I like this one. And I'm like, okay, you're the one ultimately paying for this because it's going on your credit card. We're going to go with the one he likes. And in my head, I'm going, yeah, it's the bondage set. So my band will look like a rope around my finger.
Yes.
And then the really gorgeous deep purple amethyst will be lined all the way around with something that looks like rope, which the lady was like, actually, that will probably protect it better because it'll be encased instead of, you know, like solitaire gems are like kind of loose and open.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, the whole time I'm going, it's a bondage ring. So that's my silver lining. Yeah, I'm really grateful you have more self-control than I do, because I promise you after that, what I would not have gone and done is gotten a healthy smoothie for lunch. I would have been like eating my weight in french fries,
yeah, well,
and hamburgers and all kinds of stuff.
You know, I know a good deal of things. Mm. All right. I know my way around a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, over the years, I have learned a fair amount about woodworking.
Mm-hmm.
I know nothing
about jewelry,
about precious metals.
And, you know, here's what kills me, though. I've seen the site you bought from.
Yeah.
And they're slick looking and they say all the right things. I mean, I am more pissed off that you were sold an absolute bill of goods.
I know.
And because we made the decision to wait until we got married to resize the rings, because they were going to charge you to resize them anyway. I mean, we were going to pay no matter when we did it. I was like, there's no point in resizing now, resizing this one, but not the wedding band, then resizing, because I would have lost more weight. I did lose more weight in over a year. So it's like, you know, had we done it right then, we would have caught this and prevented all this. But that wasn't the decision we made. So.
No.
Part of me is like, oh, thank God I'm not a sentimental person, or I'd be sobbing over this ring instead of going, I'm going to have a bondage ring. I'm going to have a kinky ring. You know, I am. What bothers me about it is how you feel about it. What makes me fucking spit fire is the idea that you feel foolish. You feel stupid. You feel, I can see it all over your face. Like I'm reading you going, oh my God, he feels like a fucking idiot. And I want to crawl through the computer at the people who made you feel that way and wring their fucking necks.
I know.
Because that's what bothers me.
I know.
That is what pisses me off.
I mean, I, you know, spent a lot of time going through their site. I talked with them on the phone.
I know you did your due diligence.
I thought I asked all the right questions, but
I know. I have no doubt you did your due diligence.
So
I will say that, and this was my decision. I knew what you were doing, because you can't actually hide very much from me. It's sort of annoying. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'd really like to be surprised. I'm never surprised. I'm surprised a little bit, but I'm never completely surprised. I knew what you were doing, and I said, I want him to pick. And I know, now that I know more of the details, I know I would have stepped in and gone, no, I don't know about that. Or, whoa, that price is way too, you know. Because for what you got, you paid way too fucking much.
Yeah.
Ultimately, what we paid for the white gold with a beautiful, deep purple, gorgeous amethyst that they're going to hand pick for us, ended up being only a couple $100 more than what you paid for a sterling silver.
Right.
Like, you got, like, they... that was bullshit. And what that little bit that I know, I'd have gone, that's bullshit. Let's go look for something else.
Yeah.
But that was a choice I made. So I don't regret anything. I have worn that ring proudly, still wear it proudly. But I want you to look at it and go, that's what I fucking did. That's my mark on my woman, on my submissive, on my wife. Like, that's what I want. And you have not, since you realized what the fuck you were sold, you have not looked at that ring that way. And I don't like that shit. I don't like you ever looking at something and regretting a decision you made. It's like, let's fix it. It's not the ring itself. It's not that specific stone. It's not that specific setting. It's that you gave it to me. And so I need you to give me something that makes your cock a little harder every time you look at it. Now, oh, she says that I should have it by Thanksgiving, but maybe a little sooner. And I will be racing to the jeweler because I don't like not wearing a ring anyway. But yeah. Yeah. So, and I will wear the other one unless you go, no, don't put that fucking shit back on. And then I won't wear that one because I want you to be proud of it. That's what makes me happy.
I know.
So we fixed it. It was painful.
Yeah.
We might be eating a lot of bologna sandwiches. But we fixed it.
Yeah.
And it'll be done. And I've got a place and a human being to go back to if this shit's fucked up. Oh, no. Talk about it. You'd be calling the cops on me. I'd be screaming. So, well, no, I won't be screaming so hard. I'll be standing behind you while you drop an F-bomb. But, you know, the sentiment is there. So, yeah, that was our day-to-day. Mm-hmm. And we were so... Oh, and I have to reorder your wedding band because yours is way too big.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yours was not expensive, which that bothers me. I'm going to fix that. I don't know when, yeah, but you're going to get the nice wedding
band. For me, it's not about what the band is. It's about...
That it's there. I understand that. But just like the ring you buy me is your mark on me, that's my mark on you. And I want to be able to look back and go, oh, yeah. Look at him. Because to me, you deserve that. You deserve whatever it is I consider the best, that's what you deserve. And I don't know when it'll happen because I know it will not be cheap. But that will happen. You will have a good wedding band. It will happen. I don't know when. It will fucking happen.
That's quite a look.
But for right now, I'm really just trying to get you a ring that fucking fits.
I know.
And isn't too damn big. And unfortunately, the way this one's made, it cannot be resized.
No.
So, yeah. And that's okay.
I know.
So we'll have to redo the picture we did on Instagram with new rings.
Yeah.
Thank God the rings aren't what make us married.
I know.
Husband.
Mrs. Baby Girl.
Oh, I like that. I really need a shirt that says that. I really, really need to get with Kinky Cloth and go, hey, y'all, I need a new shirt. And it needs to say Mrs. Baby Girl.
Well, I need one that says Mr. Daddy.
I know. I need to contact them. But we just paid a lot of money for rings, so maybe I'll wait.
Might need to wait just a little bit on that.
I'll wait.
Yeah.
But we will get it, and it'll be awesome. So, yeah, I think that's it. That was our big thing. Everything else has been fine, and, you know, whatever.
We've slowly been returning to normal from
it's
the...
It's been weird, yeah. This week is a loss. I didn't actually blog on Loving BDSM this week. We did the bonus episode on Monday, and then that was, like, it. I didn't do a Wednesday post. And then on my other site, The Smut Lancer, I didn't blog at all. I was like, I fucking don't have time.
Well, you know, for me, I am not, like, a total introvert. Like you are, I'm kind of more of an ambivert.
I guess that's
yeah.
You can go either way. Yes, but, you can.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you know, it was a wonderful weekend. Family swooped in, as you know, we talked about on Friday, and they were here till, you know, Sunday.
And then my mom and stepdad left very early Monday morning.
But it's like. It's been weird. It's been taking me a while to recuperate from everything mentally.
There was a huge, for months and months and months, there was this huge, massive emotional buildup, which hit me right in the anxiety, but huge emotional buildup. Then we go through it, and it's an amazing experience, even with all the issues. And then when it's done, you're kind of like, whoa, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean we don't have to think about a wedding every waking moment of every fucking day? Mm-hmm. I don't know what these words mean. And then it's, for me, it's exhaustion. It was like all my energy went into it, as it should. And then I was just, it was from a high to a low. It was a little bit, I would not say exactly like, but it was a little bit like Sub Drop. Because I'd have the emotional high, and the only where to go, place to go, is down.
That's true.
And that was like my birthday. I was like kind of whiny and fussy.
Yeah,
I was like, life sucks. I even like pouted a little bit for my birthday swings until I didn't anymore. So,
but
Yeah,
it's kind of been a weird week. It's actually been an effort to kind of get back to you know, something normal.
Absolutely, I agree. But I think we're slowly getting there, and I think by Monday we'll be back to our normal selves. So yeah, that's us, drama and all. And I dropped a whole bunch of F-bombs this episode.
Yeah,
I went on some tangents too.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
What else is new?
Yeah. I like had opinions.
You did.
Shocking. I think more people would be surprised if I didn't have an opinion. I can like figure out an opinion. Like you could tell me something and go, I don't think I have an opinion on that, but give me a minute. I'll have an opinion on that.
All right.
So, okay.
Let's send these good people on their way. I'm sure they have things to do.
I know, especially since we're recording like just a couple hours before it's supposed to go live. We're late this week.
Yes.
But, you know, they got a full hour plus episode on Monday.
True.
And I've gotten a lot of really sweet feedback from that. People really enjoyed that. So that was cool. So, and yes, y'all, we would love to be able to add a second episode. We got to make more money before we did. So we're working on it. Okay. So yeah, we need to be done.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.